Good morning. Thank you. If you have your copy of the scriptures with you, open up to Colossians chapter 1, please. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures with you, it's in your listening guide. So if you want to pull that out, grab a pen so we can mark up some of the text in your listening guide this morning and take notes. There's one note for you to take here this morning as well. And while you're doing that, I'm going to look at Luke chapter 24. So if you don't want to go to both, that's fine. I'm going to read Luke 24 to you. So while you're making your way there, it'll be great. My wife and I have been talking about buying a tractor. Really, we talked about it in the fall. Like, I really like to get a tractor. We've got, 4 acres. I'd like to mow this with a tractor. This mower's just not cutting it. And then finally, yesterday, after a while of kind of looking at one, I went and bought one. Fortunately, this tractor with the mower also includes a snow plow, so I will be the guy plowing snow and mowing my grass this morning. This is just crazy, right? So the weather's nuts. I want to read Luke 24 to you because, starting in verse 13, because when I was younger, I believed that the gospel's what got you in. And this misunderstanding that the gospel is the good news that saved you, and you moved on to other things. But I want to show you in Luke 24 briefly, that's just not true, and then also jump into Colossians and see what's going on in Colossians. Luke 24, starting at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. If you're not sure, this is just after Jesus' death on the cross. He has come back. He has risen. He has exited the tomb, and now he's walking on his way to Emmaus. Okay, so Jesus comes up alongside them. Verse 16, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? What is it that you're talking about? And he goes on to say, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, this is what we saw. This is what happened. And now we're hearing from these ladies that the tomb is empty, that he's gone. They've seen visions of angels. And then Jesus tells them, oh, foolish ones, have you not understood what the prophets have said about me? And then at the very end of this section, go down to verse 27. Sorry, let's read verse 26 as well. If you don't have it, you can just listen. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so Jesus Christ took the scriptures and pointed to Moses, pointed to the prophets and said, that's about me, and that's about me, and that's about me, and that's about me. So what I've come to understand and to see is that all of this is about Jesus, that everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus, that the Messiah that is to come, all of that points to him, that the Gospels are about his life. And in the New Testament, you see Paul and the other writers pointing back to Jesus' life as saying, this is the central piece. This is what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. Everything points to Christ. And at the end of the New Testament, we hear he's coming back again. So this whole thing is about Jesus Christ, that he is central. He is to be central in our lives. He is essential for our growth in Christ. He is what we are to root our lives in. On the way in this morning, on one of the roads I come down, there was a fairly mature tree had just been completely uprooted and toppled over. So I mentioned the storm that we all know very well about, and the snow that came and the crazy wind that came. What Paul is going to do is try to prevent you and I from being uprooted. He's going to point us to the gospel, point us to the need for Jesus Christ in our life, the essential piece that is the gospel, that we are to root our lives and send our roots deep into the good news of Jesus Christ so that false teaching or anything else that comes in our lives, it will not cause us to be uprooted and toppled over. So I have the privilege of opening up Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. What we want to see here, what we're going to see here, is Paul thanking God and for what's going on in Colossae, but then also praying for the people of Colossians, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank who? Oh, this is the part. Sorry, I teach fourth grade through the week. Spring break has been awesome. In fact, I was talking to Brock about it. I'm really not even sure. I had to ask my wife this morning, like, do I have to go back to school tomorrow? I do. And so I, as a fourth grade teacher, and one of them's here, one of my students is here, if I pause and I say, hey, just give me that word or ask a question, it's okay. You're allowed to talk. Just go ahead and fill that word in for me. Okay, so we'll try this again. So verse 3, we always thank good. Okay, now we're doing this. Okay, so we always thank God. So the praise goes to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we what? When we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit, and yours says increasing, mine says growing. Same idea there, growing or increasing. As it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's get back up to verse 6. We'll start there today. He begins with, in verse 6, which has come to you, speaking back of the gospel. So the gospel has come to you. Skip over to, since the day you, what? Heard it, and also understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras. I've always told students, I love the name Epaphras. If I have a son, Epaphras is on the list. And it just got shot down. Okay, so So they heard it from Epaphras. So here, just for some backstory, in Acts chapter 19, you have Paul preaching in Ephesus. And while Paul is preaching in Ephesus, a man named Epaphras, or Epaphroditus, is there, hears the word of truth, hears the gospel being proclaimed by Paul. When he hears the word of truth, he is rescued, he is saved, and he runs back to where he is from, being Colossae. And so Epaphras hears the good news, he's transformed by the good news, receives faith, and runs back to his friends and says, I have to tell you about this thing. And so Epaphras establishes three churches, Hierapolis, Laodicea, and the church at Colossae. So you have this thing happening, like what we found out in here, that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. We're going to spend some time with that. But he's telling him, look, you heard it from Epaphras. Paul has never been there. Paul has never been with the people at Colossae. But what has happened is Epaphras heard from Paul, goes, preaches, establishes churches, teaches them the gospel of truth. They have understood it. They have received it. And now Epaphras has gone back to Paul to tell them what's going on. Does that make sense? So just for a little bit more backstory on the Colossians, skip down to verse 13. It says, he has delivered us, he being God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness, which is a reference back to in verse 12. It talks about we have received an inheritance of the saints in light, and now he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so what Paul is telling them is that you are in Christ. You have received the forgiveness of sins. Later, he's going to tell them that the record of debt that stood against you has been canceled, that Christ, he's nailed it to the cross, and he's put it to open shame, that there is nothing that stands against you, that God has forgiven you of all of your sins, that you have been rescued from the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son. So these men and women who are without hope and without God in this world, because of Epaphras hearing the good news in Ephesus, has brought that good news. They have heard the good news. They have received the good news. They've been planted in the good news. And Paul wants to remind them of those things. Because in Colossae, there are false teachers who are popping up teaching them. It's the gospel and it's something else. It's the gospel and it's wisdom. It's the gospel and these Jewish festivals. It's the gospel and some dietary restrictions. There's all these other things going on. And what Paul wants to do is say, no, plant yourself firmly in the gospel. This is who you are. You have been, by God's power, transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son because of the message of the gospel that you heard from Epaphras. Go back to verse 3, if you would, please. We'll try this thing again. If I pause, just give me that word, okay? We always thank God. So Paul begins here, we always, so the group that he's with, we always thank God, and they thank God for a couple things. They thank God for the faith that they've heard about, that the people at Colossae have. Why? Because it's God who does it. The gift of faith that you and I have, we don't claim it as our own, that you and I figured it out, that you and I were able to like put the pieces together and we claimed it for our own. It was a gift from God. And so when he hears of the faith that they have, it isn't, you guys are awesome. Like, you got, you really nailed that there. Like, you figured this whole faith thing out. You rock. First thing he does is, we thank God. We thank God for what is happening. We thank God for the faith that you have. And then he goes on to say, we thank God for the love that you have for all the saints. So here's what happened. The faith that they have springs from the hope that's laid up for them in heaven. A hope that cannot be robbed, cannot be taken. If it was hope in anything here, someone could steal it from you. It could fall apart, it could be destroyed, it could be robbed from you. But their hope is in heaven. And because their hope's in heaven, their faith is secure. And because their faith is secure, they are led to love each other as they should, as Christ first loved them. And here's the cool thing. When you and I love because of this good news, when we share of God's goodness with our fellow brothers and sisters and in the Mount Vernon area and wherever you're from, when you share that, it's a public thing. We're told in the scriptures not to let our right hand know what our left hand is doing, that it's not to go out and say, hey, look at me, look how awesome I am. But the reality is your acts of love and kindness bear witness to Christ in you. And so when you go about loving the saints and you go about sharing your faith and you provide and you care for and you do these things in the community, in your life group, people are going to take notice. That when you are about the work of the Lord, people are going to see what's going on. And so what's happened is Epaphras sees this thing that's happening. He sees faith. He sees the love for the saints, and he sees all of this is rooted in the hope that's laid up for heaven. And so he's going back to Paul and saying, Paul, check this out. This is what's going on. They have faith. They're loving each other, and it's all springing from hope that's in heaven. So why then write the rest of Colossians? I mean, if that's what's going on, that's awesome. Let's move on someplace else. You see the heart of a pastor in this. Because what he sees young plants, as it were, rooted in the good news. And he knows that all around him, wind's blowing, encouraging them to stay the gospel and this. It's the gospel and something else. It's the gospel and religious festivals. It's the gospel and worship of angels. It's the gospel and dietary restrictions. He sees all this wind coming at them. He's saying, no, no, no. It's the gospel. Plant yourself in the gospel. And so for the rest of Colossians, what you're going to see is you're going to see different pieces popping up. There are all different ideas of what the heresy actually was in Colossae, of what the false teachers were teaching. We're not exactly sure. And if you check with the different commentaries, you're going to see it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. But what you're going to see is Paul talking about being filled with wisdom by God in Christ. You see that in the text we read this morning. And you're going to see Paul saying, don't worry about the dietary restriction stuff. That's just a shadow, but Christ is the substance. So we get these ideas of what they're being faced with, okay? But not to be exactly sure of what that is. The idea that they were being encouraged to leave Christ when Paul is saying, no, root yourself in Jesus Christ, the word of the truth. Let's skip down to verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now, let's just pause for a moment, because what a wonderful thing, right? That from the day that we heard of you, we have not ceased to pray for you. And some of you are probably thinking, college students are thinking, I've got to go to school. Like, I've got class, okay? I probably shouldn't say this, but I had a friend in college that one day was sleeping in class, and the professor called him and said, hey, why are you sleeping? He said, I was praying. Which is just ridiculous. So anyway, don't do that. So what I would say is if you're like, okay, how do we go about this? Because I know Paul says in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, right? That we should be praying. So when you go to your jobs, when you're doing your life, how do you pray without ceasing? How is that even possible? And the way that works is you are to be mindful of what God is doing in and around you all the time, to have a consciousness of God, that there's a constant stream of conversation, as it were, in your mind, that you are looking and seeing things the way God sees them. So that as something comes to you, you are mindful asking God for wisdom or for help in the thing that's about to come up. That you're constantly having conversation. When you're driving down the road and there's an accident, you're mindful of what God's doing and you're praying for the people that are there. So it's actually two pieces. It's being mindful of God all the time and the work that he's doing in and around you all the time. And also mindful of the people in your life, acutely aware of what they need. And so when Paul says that since we've heard of your faith, we have not stopped to pray for you, what he's revealing is that he's constantly in conversation with God, that he is thinking about God's activities in Colossae, in Hierapolis, in Laodicea, in Ephesus, and wherever he goes. And as those people pop into his mind, he lifts them up before the Lord and prays for them. And let's see what he's asking for. He's asking for a couple things for these people. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so right there, the first one he sees, he's saying, when we think of you, we pray for you always, and we're asking that God fill you with the knowledge. The deceit that was going on was, yes, it's Christ, but it's also this other thing. To be fully enlightened, to be completely filled, you need this other piece of wisdom. And Paul's saying, no, I'm praying that God would fill you up. If you think about a cup, he's going to fill you completely to the brim with his knowledge and push out everything else so that you can discern what his will is and be aware of what it is that you are supposed to do. And so Paul is praying that God would fill them with knowledge so they can walk obediently in what God would have them to do. And so shouldn't that be our prayer for each other, life group leaders, those involved in life groups, the brothers and sisters in here, shouldn't we be about praying for each other that God would fill us with wisdom so that we can quickly discern or be able to discern between this is truth and this is false, this is gospel, this is not gospel, this is empty and this is full, because all around us, there's different false teachers, and there's different false things that would say it's the gospel and something else, or it's not the gospel at all. And brothers and sisters, we need to be filled with knowledge so we know what is true and what is false, what is gospel and what isn't. I've seen it so many times that I can have a gospel conversation with somebody, and we're talking deep truths of the gospel. Then I see not too long after that they're running headlong after health, wealth, and prosperity. I'm like, that's not the gospel. You're missing the points of the gospel. We need to be aware of and ask God to fill us with wisdom and knowledge so we can discern what his will is, so we can be obedient to walk in that. And Paul's praying that for the Colossians here. Let's look at verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. So Paul asks to be filled with the knowledge, and that being filled with the knowledge leads to walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, bearing fruit, and increasing in knowledge. And he asks for them to be strengthened with all power for all endurance and patience with joy. So those are the things Paul's asked for. Let's go back. I want to take a look at the text in verse 5. And then I'm going to give you a couple things to leave here with. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood it, the grace of God. Now, let me look at me. Let me see your eyes, okay? So what I need you to understand is that here in 2016, it's the same thing that happened. It's the same truth that Paul is teaching here. He's saying that every day throughout the world, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is bearing fruit and growing, or and increasing. And he said, it's the same. You can look at your own life. Take a look at your life here. He's saying, Colossians, take a look at your life, and you can look back and you can see how God has brought you from one degree to another more and more like Jesus Christ. When you examine your life, you're going to see fruit that is coming out of your life, that is born of the Spirit, that God has created in your life because of time spent with God studying the gospel. You're going to look back in your life and see fruit that is born. I look back at my life, what a train wreck. And degree by degree, I'm less of a train wreck. But I can look back and I can see the fruit that God is bearing in my life. It's as evidence of what the Spirit's doing in and through me. And Paul said, All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. Right now, today, in this very room, the message of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit in lives. Here in this room, Adam's down in South America, it's bearing fruit in South America. A friend of mine just got back from Africa where he was digging wells to provide water, and it's a mission organization called Living Water where he provides water for them, but that water is a chance to tell them, let me introduce you to the living water, Jesus Christ. And so in Africa, there, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing there. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. In this room, the good news of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit. But it also says, and growing. So bearing fruit on an individual level, where we can look back at our life and say, yes, from one degree to another, I see the fruit being developed in my life. But also it's saying that it's growing. This thing is increasing, that where you take the good news, it just explodes. If you look at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, that's where Epaphras heard Paul preaching. Take a look at what happened in Ephesus, that when the gospel message came, it just completely turned the city up on its ends, and it actually caused riots because of the good news. Like, it completely changed everything about Ephesus. And so Paul is saying that everywhere it goes, this gospel bears fruit individually, but it also, it just keeps expanding. It's constantly expanding. It's bringing new brothers and sisters into the faith. It's bearing fruit and it's growing. This gospel is. And so you and I can look back at our life and we can say, yeah, I can see that growth. And we also know that when we share the good news, that his word will not come back void, that we can share this good news and it's going to increase. It's going to grow. We're going to see other brothers and sisters come to faith. That's what the text is saying. Everywhere the gospel goes, it bears fruit and it grows. I've failed to tell you what the theme of this whole idea is for today. I apologize for that. So that first note you have in your listening guide is, just because it's new doesn't mean it's true. And that's an idea of avoiding, just because there's all these other things going on around you, stick with Jesus Christ and the gospel and his good news. Don't run from that. Root yourself. You're going to hear Paul talk later, being rooted and built up and established in the gospel, that we plant ourselves in the gospel and we don't sway from that. Don't be like the tree that's blown over by something else, but root yourself in the gospel. So I want to give you a couple action steps if you want to list these out in your listening guide. There's some blank space there in the announcement section. The first one is this: thank God. We see that in the text. Paul thanks God. Can you imagine the difference that it would make in our lives if we went to God and we thanked him? If we thanked him for all the good things, and I've really been wrestling with this. I'm just going to go ahead and tell the story. I know it's going to be on the podcast. My wife made chili the other day. Oh, I thank God for that chili. Like, honestly, like, it was one of those moments of like, I am so thankful for chili right now. Like, it's just a perfect day for chili. And it tasted so good. And she did, it was just fantastic. And I stopped. Like, we were, Ashley thought I was ridiculous. She still thinks I'm ridiculous. But I was like, we're going to pray again. We're going to thank God. But it's this, we should all be, like, just be spilling out of us, like, this thankfulness for God for the things that he has given us, for taste, for experiences, for our friends. But here's the trouble. We don't want to say, I thank you for that. I thank you, Mark Lyons, for all that you've done for the Connections team. Rather, let's say, I thank God for Mark Lyons and what he does. God, I thank you for our entire Connections team and how they make us feel welcome as we come in, the doors being open, the listening guides being prepared, everything being set up. I thank God for Josh. I thank God for the worship team and how they lead us in worship and they draw our hearts closer. I thank God for all of this. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in my life group. I thank God for all of you, that we can come together as a community, rather than, you're awesome. Because that just falls flat, right? Like, it doesn't, like, it's not leading us all to this deeper sense of worship, that we should be thanking our workers in the children area, saying, I thank God for you that you're doing this, and I'm not, says the fourth grade teacher. No, but like, but we should be thanking God for all of these things. I heard a pastor who was thanking another pastor. He said, I thank God for Christ in you. And again, it's not you're awesome. It's, I thank God that what he's doing in and through your life. What would that look like if a church wrapped its mind around that? That if, instead of thanking each other and letting it fall right there, if we said, I thank God for what you're doing. I'm so thankful for God for the area that you serve. I'm so thankful for God that you are leading this life group. I'm so thankful to God for all that you're doing. What would happen? What would that look like if, rather than letting it being thanks to each other, it was God gets all the praise? So number one, let's thank God. Number two, pray for each other. If you saw in the text, it sounds like things in Colossians were going pretty well. That they have a faith that's that springs up from a hope that they have in heaven. They also have a love that springs up from a hope that they have in heaven. And Paul says, I'm going to pray for you. Normally, when we come together in our life groups, it's, okay, what's going wrong? We're going to pray for that. And I'm not even for a moment saying, don't pray for those things. By all means, list those things out. Let's pray for those things. But notice that Paul is praying for them while things are good. And he's asking them, okay, there's fruit being born in your life. I pray that God would continue to fill you with knowledge so that as you continue to grow and you're going to be bombarded with all these different winds blowing from all these different directions, that you can sort them out and you can know what God's will is and you can be obedient to him. I pray that while you are bearing fruit, that God continues to fill you with wisdom. We should be praying for each other when things are rough, but also, man, when you see something going on in someone's life, man, I'm going to keep praying for you because that's awesome that God's doing that in your life. I thank God for what's happening, and I'm going to pray that God continues to do that. So we should be thanking God, and we should be praying for others. This next one is two parts. Trust the gospel. Trust the gospel. And the first one is trust the gospel in evangelism. Trust the gospel that it will bear fruit and it will grow. But the text says it does. And if you look back at your life, you can see that that's true for your own personal life. Someone told you, and so it grew there. And you can look back at your life and you can say, yes, it's increased in my life. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Trust the gospel in evangelism. The summer of 2012, really the spring, my wife came to me with this crazy idea of going and trying out for a musical. That's not me, okay? I am not musically inclined. I keep offering my services to Josh, and he's like, nope, you're good. You're good, up there in the corner. Don't sing near anybody, okay? You're fine. And so Ashley and I prayed through that. We're like, okay, this idea of being a musical just terrifies me. The musical was Grease. It was here in town. And we weren't just going to go out for like the chorus number. She wanted to try out for Danny and Sandy. That's ridiculous, right? Like Danny Zuko, like that's dancing and singing. Like now this is like you got to step this game up, and I have no game at all. So we're going to pray through this, baby. We'll think about this and see if this is something we're going to do. And so we prayed for it, and then it came to us like, you know what? We should do this. One, for ourselves. We get a chance to do something together as husband and wife, a project for the summer. What great fun that will be. And then the next piece was, if we're doing this, we're going to carry the message of the good news with us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at the end of that text, it talks about that we are ministers of reconciliation, that we've been reconciled to God first, and we carry the message of reconciliation, that we are ambassadors of Christ, that we carry the message of the one who has sent us. And so wherever we go, if it's our neighborhoods, if it's our workplaces, wherever it is, if it's Greece, whatever it is, we carry the message of reconciliation. So we said, you know what, if we're going to do this thing, we're carrying the message of reconciliation with us, and we're going to share the good news of the gospel. And so for an entire summer, we spent a good time dancing and singing and playing with our friends, and we'd go to practices, and it was just great fun. And then we would go after, we'd spend time on a deck, and we would talk for hours on end about life and everything that was going on. It was just this wonderful thing. I got to meet a really good man. I've practiced this twice, and I keep doing this. I met this man who I really didn't care a whole lot for. He was kind of odd. We didn't really quite see eye to eye, and just prayed for him. And I'm not the hero of this story because all I want to do is be an instrument in the Redeemer's hands. And so at the end of the summer, Mike Andrews and I'm sharing the gospel, and I shared this passage, and I said, I want you to know Christ, and he already did. And now what I get to see is fruit being born in his life, and he's leading our life group. It works. Trust the gospel and evangelism. It's incredible. It bears fruit in our lives. And if you would just trust that what he's saying in here, it works. I've seen it. And we don't praise ourselves. I don't thank myself. I'm a mess. I praise the one who used me to share the good news in a thing like Greece. And we've got friends, Jackie, Katie, all of us knew, we knew Christ, and we thought, okay, there's something happening here. And so I just said, you know what, I just want to be faithful to what he's called me to do. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Let's spend time talking about him. We're in a life group here. And so we spend Sundays talking about him, and it's wonderful. We come together and we sing songs to him. It's awesome. It works. Trust the gospel in evangelism. Trust the gospel in your own sanctification. It's not something else. It is Jesus Christ. Christ. Root yourself in the gospel. If you want to resist temptation, root yourself in the gospel. Know that Christ has set you free from that. So when the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you, what you remind yourself of is that I am new in Jesus Christ, that he has rescued me from the domain of darkness. He has transferred me to the kingdom of the Son. And so when temptation comes, I can say no to it because I have been rescued from that. It reminds yourself that you're living under grace, that God has rescued, so you can say no to all of these things. But also, as you spend time with Jesus Christ in his word and the Spirit works on you, you're going to be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. It's not about, I'm going to flex my muscles. You don't see a tree out there on its own flexing its muscles to have fruit pop out. It roots itself deeper and deeper into the ground, gathering nutrients from the ground, and from those nutrients spring out life. And Paul's pointing us to the example in Colossians that's true for you and I. We don't flex our muscles. We abide in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said that, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit, that we are the branches and he is the vine. Don't be cut off from the vine, because when we're attached to the vine, we draw life from the vine and we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Root yourself deeply into the gospel. Thank God for these things. Pray for others. Trust the gospel and evangelism and in our own sanctification. I want to leave you with this. My daughter Nora is 27 months. I got to get past it. She's 2 years something. And so we sing songs to her. And the song that now keeps, it's on kind of repeat, is Jesus Loves Me. And so when we're singing in the car, she'll say, again, Daddy. And so we sing it again. And then I love this. She just says, again, again, again. Like that's her new thing. So again, again, again. So we'll sing it again. The problem for you and I is that we think that the truths that we sing to young children, that at some point we grow past those. The reality is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we root our lives deeply on the truth of that song and the truth of this text. And when we do, we bear fruit and grow. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this text. I'm thankful to be reminded of the gospel, that it bears fruit and grows individually, and we can see others come to know Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, because we're blown about by all these other things that are going on around us. Help us to be, I pray, Father, that we would all be filled with wisdom of the knowledge of your will, that we would know what is true and what is wrong, what is false, what is true, what we would know what's empty and what is full, that we would know what is gospel and what is not. Help us, Father, to be filled and to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, fully pleasing to you in all of these things. Help us, Father, to root ourselves in the good news of Jesus Christ. We love you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.